Good morning. Today is Friday, February the 15th. We've all survived hail, sleet, snow, and it looks like a little bit of maybe sun out there, too. I don't know. That one's going to be kind of scary a little bit. Karen Diemer is not with us this morning.
No, sir.
How's that for obvious, huh? Oh, I know what we could do. Neither of us were old enough for the whose line is it anyway, right? Or the, I think the early one was in 1950s. And spending way too much time on YouTube. I remember Russ Hodges, who was a Giants announcer.
Okay.
Okay. Hall of Famer, all that kind of stuff. He was in New York City, and he came on, and whose line is it, right? And that was the comedic version of this. And you had a panel of guests, and they each had four questions to guess who the person was and what they did. And it was like first name. Okay. So my name is Brian, and we go around three times, and they try to ascertain who I am,
okay,
and what I do. So
your voice is so distinctive. I think by you just saying your name is Brian,
possibly, but you know, some of these guys were like from St. Louis, you know, and they were in New York City, so there was that kind of a thing. So if somebody asks who you are, how would you describe yourself without saying who you are?
In my professional capacity.
Well, yeah, that's it. We don't care about your Little League history.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
It was epic, though. My Little League history was epic. I was known in my Little League days for picking dandelions in right field.
Left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So let's see. So in my professional capacity, though, I am involved in economic and housing development in the city of Arcata.
Gee, guess what our topics are going to be on? Okay.
Yeah. The work that I do is the kind of work where when it's done, when you have a product. It's not the product that the people who were trying to get something done were looking for. They get a permit.
So the ability to do something rather than doing something.
Than actually doing something, okay. Yeah. It's an important piece of the work, though. And when they get that permit, about half the people say, why'd you give them that permit? And the other half the people say, why'd it take so long to give that permit?
So you get a why out of 100% of everybody.
100% everyone, yeah.
Okay, so, Mr. David, we've got a little thing here that we do. It's called Why Do We Say That?
Okay.
This has nothing to do with what you just shared.
No,
so,
that's fun. I love words. Let's
all
go.
Right.
Let's rock and roll.
Let's see if we... You're not... It's filling in your background. English. Heritage.
Yes, I do have some English heritage.
All right, well, you might get a shot at this one then. Coventry. What is the origin of the expression sent to Coventry?
Sent to Coventry.
Yes. This
Does
might
it
actually
have something
work.
To do with Stephen Colbert?
No, good Lord, no.
I think he has a line of products.
Yeah, it doesn't involve perfume or mascara either, no.
No, I'm going to have to take a pass.
Alrighty.
It's not in my command.
During the years of strife between the kings of England and Parliament, small parties of the king's men who visited the dives of a city were frequently attacked and either killed or sent to Coventry. Then strongly Protestant and pro-Parliament. In Coventry, of course, the royalists were ostracized.
Huh.
So basically, you know, being sent out onto an island, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I guess that's better than the alternative.
Yeah, sent under the island. Oh. So with the economic information that we've been hearing connected with the housing in Arcata, those structures that seem to be headlining all the news, what types of misinformation, lack of detail, are being talked about that may or may not be accurate with these proposed structures?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, that's a pretty broad question.
We got time.
We've got plenty of answer. Time. Plenty of time. And so I'm, you know, I'm not exactly sure how, you know, best to answer it, but I guess, you know, one thing I would say is that there are, you know, as with any, you know, permitting process, you know, as we go through it, it's a really open and public process. And, you know, it's interesting to me to note that the city staff are, you know, presenting, you know, facts about environmental impact, you know, facts about the project, how it comports with the, you know, the policies in the city of Arcata. And obviously that's, you know, that's a, you know, fairly narrow view into, you know, the impact of the project psychologically, emotionally, and so on and so forth on the community. And so, you know, as you go through these public hearings or, you know, the outreach and engagement that we do to process these permits, there are always issues that come up, fears, concerns, you know, changes is really difficult. And some of the, you know, some of the concerns, I mean, I wouldn't say that there are any concerns that aren't valid. You know, people's, you know, understanding of how it's going to impact their life, how it's going to impact their community and that sort of thing. Those are all very, very valid.
Are some of the concerns because they don't have accurate information or because the information they have is pointing to something that they don't necessarily believe in?
Well,
yeah, I guess the clock got us here because it says we have 10 seconds. He says we have one. It's 8:19.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with David. From the city of Arcata. You want to give another hint?
Sure. I actually have the extreme good fortune of being able to work on a lot of projects in the city of Arcata that, you know, create housing, that get people who, you know, into our community that wouldn't otherwise be able to. We've done a lot of affordable housing projects, and I think the city of Arcata has about 600 affordable housing units at this point, about 5% of its housing stock.
Good guy is not his last name, though. So in looking at some of the different challenges that are out there as somebody is coming to consider a development in the city, it could be housing, it could be commercial, it could be industrial, light industrial, whatever it is. These folks aren't babes in the woods. They've done projects before. When people who have an impact to their neighborhood or perceive an impact to their neighborhood or differences start to make comment, start to show up,
mm-hmm.
either with a smile on their face or a picket in their or a stick in their hand. That would be a picket sign, not a wampum on the head stick. How do you start that process as, I guess, a mediator as much as anything,
mm-hmm.
To either allay frustrations and concerns and fears or to fill in some of those gaps? How do you go through, or what's your responsibility in that process? What is the developer's responsibility in that process?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The planning process is a legal process. There, when someone comes in with an application, and they ask us to process that application, when it gets to hearing, there's you know, certain legal requirements that we, you know, notice, that we give, you know, hearings, that we, you know, there's a due process. And it's quite literally a legal process. To the extent that, you know, an applicant says, look, you know, I'm not interested in doing, you know, city workshops or, you know, broader scale facilitation, you know, on this project, you know, we're somewhat limited. And so to be more explicit, as an application comes in, you know, we have a couple of different pathways for public engagement. One would be to have meetings outside of the hearing process that allows people to, you know, participate and, you know, go through a workshop to find out what's going on with the project and provide their concerns. The developer can do extra reach out as well and send out, you know, folks to the community to, you know, try and find out what are people concerned about and how do I address that in my project. None of those are requirements on a private project being applied for through a, you know, planning application. The requirements are that we bring it to, you know, Planning Commission, or we bring it to the City Council, and they get, you know, their 3 minutes to, the public get 3 minutes apiece to tell them what they think. Projects that are, you know, big, I think, warrant a lot more outreach, a lot more understanding of the community, and a lot more, you know, listening.
Big as in physical impact? Big as investment? Financial, monetary, big, cultural changes, big. I mean, what would qualify?
Yeah, I think a little bit of all of that. You know, we need to be sensitive to that. You know, as city staff, at the same time, you know, we need to counterbalance that with the you know, the rights of the private property owner and their ability to do with their property, you know, as the code allows for. So
it's, that was one thing that was really curious for me with mm-hmm. the goat cheese folks.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be compliant with the zoning, and yet they still packed it in and went to McKinleyville.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if there's much of a difference between cow smell and goat smell, but apparently there wasn't enough. And I think that's where a lot of us have got question concern is mm-hmm. if it is a development is in compliance with the existing land use, neighborhood use, it should be like an automatic, let's not worry about it, guys, because this is what you voted for when we brought in the general plan.
Mm-hmm.
So why do those have to go to community meetings also if it's very clearly in a proper use of an area that's zoned? I mean, if it's a house going into a neighborhood and mm-hmm. it's an empty lot, it's a house.
That's right.
It qualifies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want a house in the lot across the street because your kids are playing there? Well, okay, thanks, next. I mean, so how do you ameliorate? Oh, there's a fancy word, ameliorate that.
Well, you're absolutely right. That is sort of the protections of zoning, that once a property is zoned for a particular use, that's a principally permitted use, or that's a use that they have by right, there's not a lot that the public have to say about that. Now, that is, of course, in certain areas where you don't have, say, design review, which throws into a lot of public hearings that wouldn't otherwise be done. But for the most part, you know, property that's zoned for the use, the property owner can do the use and there are no public hearings.
Design review.
Boy,
is that the kiss of death. KINS, News and Information Time is 8:30.
Decade of Difference presents the High School Innovate Business Challenge.
I'm Genevieve Regley, encouraging you to go for it and submit an idea. I didn't know if my idea would be selected, but it was, and I learned a lot about my idea and myself. It was a great experience and helped kickstart my business while still attending Ferndale High School.
Learn more at decadeofdifference.org. Deadline to enter is February 15th. Upload your idea and compete for thousands of dollars. It's the Decade of Difference. Be a part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:35. We are back to Talk Shop this morning with David. I'm Brian for this. From the city of Arcata. Talk Shop presented by Murphy's Markets, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, CDH Painting, and Redeck. David, the concept of design review, and I suppose that there's, okay, here's my redneck, some legitimate reasons for a design review to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when you've got the Planning Commission, you've got your staff, you've got the outreach that you do because you don't want to be lit up by the electeds.
Mm-hmm.
What is this extra level design review? I've never heard anybody say from the development perspective,
sure,
that something positive came out of that. I've heard more time, more money, more architectural renderings, mm-hmm, new botanical options. All I hear is additional expenses from folks that don't have the expertise often,
mm-hmm,
and certainly don't have any financial risk in the equation.
Right.
So what is the purpose of design review? Is it like a mini planning commission?
Well, the design review in the city of Arcata anyway has, you know, changed over time pretty dramatically. I think the underlying idea is that we don't want to have change that's incongruous with the community. And so, you know, that's maybe a good starting
place. Doesn't the Planning Commission do that stuff? And doesn't your staff kind of look at it and go, no, we don't need chartreuse.
We don't regulate color, thank goodness. We don't regulate color. But, yeah, we do take a look at it, and we use the, you know, the guidance that we have in the general plan.
Okay, a eucalyptus tree then.
Yeah. And, you know, when we bring it to that review authority, we're asking them to weigh in on what, you know, staff worked with the, you know, with the applicant to propose. You know, at the end of the day, though, there are, you know, it's clear that there are certain kinds of projects that have a much larger impact on the community than others. And so, for example, right now, you know, under we just implemented a change to our design review process. But under the old process, if you had a second unit and it happened to be taller than the unit that was on the site to begin with, you're going to design review. No matter where you are in the city, you're going to design review.
So like in the old days, the water tower building
you had a garage.
The carriage house.
Exactly,
kind of thing.
Exactly. Okay. You want to put something on the second floor. You're going to design review. And, you know, with our process, it required that you get, you know, really detailed drawings, you go through, you know, whole lot of effort to put together an application, and then you get to that decision maker and they say change 10 things. So you go back and you get your drawings changed. You have to go back to that architect or that designer. You know, people who are going through that, many people felt like it was, you know, pretty subjective, kind of capricious, very expensive, and that their projects ultimately didn't get much better. We had even some architects say that, hey, what you guys are really doing is rubber stamping bad design. So there were lots of different opinions about what was wrong with design review. So what we've done is we've taken that process and broken it down for those projects that are, you know, front and center, you know, in very important areas, you know, have a big community impact, have a large, you know, public view. Those things are still going to go to the Planning Commission for design review. We've taken the majority of the rest of the projects and we've pushed them down either to a zoning administrator level, things that are going to have a moderate impact on the community, we still notice, or we've pushed them down to an over-the-counter. When you bring in your building plans, we check and make sure that, you know, it meets with the code. And then,
so more of a consultant rather than what might have been described as an adversarial.
Well,
you go, we don't like it, go handle it, versus, well, what do you think about how about this? That then qualifies. Is that something you can do? It's a whole different relationship.
It really is. And, you know, that's the direction that we're going with, you know, with this, with the Community Development Department in general, is to try and, you know, break down the, you know, the adversarial relationship that is created by we're on this side of the counter telling you what the code is. You're on that side of the counter trying to get a project done. I think the most interesting thing that we were talking about during the break with design review, and I kind of alluded to it in my first, you know, guess at who I am, is that people are coming into our counter because they have to. They're not coming into our counter because they want to. They're not buying a product from us because they want to. They're buying a product from us because they have to. And so we have to go that extra mile. We have to go above and beyond to make it a, you know, an experience that they walk away feeling like they got value for the money that they gave us. You know, I was,
so David, what happens? I mean, there are a couple of choice ones, but we don't have to use any specifics, where folks who will be impacted, and I guess that could be anything from a new grocery store in the neighborhood, hooray, hooray, mm-hmm. to feeling that they've been put out or inconvenienced or that their property is now worth less because of this thing that's going on. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with the emotional that often is what the base reference is, and try to kick it over to the logical, which is where you guys play? Mm-hmm. I mean, I would think it's like apples and kumquats. I mean, they're not even close. Mm-hmm. And yet one develops a whole lot of effort, discussion, time, and, you know, city council's involvement, sure. often. Versus, guys, this is what the rules are, mm-hmm. and this is in compliance, and I'm sorry if it's going to take you an extra 30 seconds to go through that stoplight when you're going to drop your kid off at school. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, things do change, and we cannot put a moratorium on life in your neighborhood.
Right. Yeah, that is, you know, a challenge. When people are seeing change, one of the things that we try and do in our department is to make sure that folks can express their you know, concerns, whether they're based on emotional things or logical things. And we also, you had said, you know, facilitate earlier, and that's really the way that I look at it, is that, you know, we're bringing forward the application. We're facilitating a process so that the applicant can make their case for the application. Staff has definitely put together an analysis of how it comports with the code. But we're also trying to help people who have come to speak on the matter understand the kinds of things that are under the purview of the Planning Commission versus those that aren't. So we allow them to express their opinions or their emotions, but if they don't, you know, speak to the code, then...
So if it's, yeah, it may not... Thanks for your input, but that's not what we can control.
Right.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. When we come back, the big reveal. Oh, and by the way, Winston found the TV show, What's My Line?
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The Los Angeles flight is a great success. Did you hear? Starting May 29th, we'll have a second departure to Los Angeles. It makes it even easier to visit sunny SoCal. What's more, we'll have flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a few hours away from the Mile High City or wherever you want to go. This will make connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:47. Yet again, a great conversation during the break, interrupted by live microphones. Joining us this morning is David. How about a title?
Title. That title would kind of give it away, I think.
Yeah.
I'll give you my title.
Well, yeah, I mean, we only have 2.5 minutes left. So
okay.
We're not giving away a lot.
I'm the Director of Community Development.
Okay. And if you still don't know, stay tuned for another 2 minutes, and then we'll do the full... reveal.
Ooh,
yeah. So what makes a good community development staff member?
What makes a good community development
staff member?
Yeah, when you're looking for a hire. Yeah.
Okay, you got the technical. Okay, set that aside because that's got to be a given going in. What makes a good one? What makes one that isn't quite so up to snuff?
Well, you know, I think it's, you know, as with any... profession, I think that you have to be passionate about it. I mean, I think that people who you know, show up to work and are excited about what they do. They're proud of what they do. They you know, enjoy working with the team. They enjoy working with the community. I think that, that passion goes a long way. You know, a lot of the skills that we do, you can learn. They're teachable. But at the end of the day, if you're not coming to work with, you know, 110%, then yeah, exactly, with a big smile, you know, and giving that smile to you know, the community every day, you know, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard because, you know, there are a lot of people who don't like what we do.
Do they train or talk to or even reference being a people person in school, or is it more the X's and O's, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, I think that the education system, now I haven't been in school for quite some time, so I can't say for certain, but I do work with a lot of interns who are just recent graduates.
Yeah, you're around younger people.
I'm around younger people, and it seems to me that they're teaching a lot more soft skills nowadays in school, and making sure that folks have more practical knowledge. They're really emphasizing internships. And so I think that there is more than just the, you know, the practical. The field of planning is really changing, too. You know, folks who, you know, are in my generation that went to planning school, it was very, you know, focused on, you know, urban planning, and the objective was to create a box that things could fit within. And I think that, you know, planning has really expanded to encompass a lot of other disciplines and understanding of, you know, how things impact, say, the economy, in addition to how they impact the little boxes we've created.
All right, it's time. Full disclosure.
Okay, I'm David Loy. I'm the Director of Community Development for the City of Arcata.
Ooh, you're him. Thanks for coming by. Say hi to Karen for us.
Will do.
See everybody tomorrow morning.